everyone, welcome back to another episode of Stripped by Sia, your podcast for strippers, sex workers, and all the fancy naked people in between. I'm your host, Steph Sia, aka Kimchi. I like to say Kimchi on stage, but I actually don't know when I'll be dancing back on stage, so I'm just gonna stop saying that. But yes, fellow exotic dancer, cam model and streammate. I also need to, you know, get back on there more consistently, but you can find me on there under Sia on camera. And I was a sugar baby for many years, and of course I'm an adult content creator as well. If you are tuning in for the first time, hello and welcome. This show is all about the adult industry. It's all about sex work, specifically destigmatizing sex work and all the areas that are kind of adjacent to it. So by that, I mean, I bring on, you know, different talent, models. We also bring on people that are from nonprofit organizations. We also have allies that come on the show as well. So I just do that to really paint an accurate picture of what sex work actually is, because I know that there's a lot of you that are listening to the show in order to prep for yourself to jump both feet into the industry, or maybe you are a fellow sex worker, or maybe you're even a client to learn how to be a better client. Those ones also exist as well. But I do the show mainly to educate and kind of humanize sex workers. So I'm glad you're here. Every single week is different. I bring on a different guest on every single week, and this week is no different. I am bringing on a past guest who's joining me on a different topic today, but this person has not been on for a long little while, since episode 106, guys. Like, we're over, well over 200 already, so it's kind of wild to me. And I will be announcing who this is first, and if you didn't look at the title, you'll already know who it is. But we are speaking about photography, talking about safe practices, what to expect during a shoot, what to expect after, the editing process, etiquette, because that also is a thing that, you know, often gets overlooked. So we're just here to set the record straight with that. And because, you know, like, good photos and photography and working with photographers is pretty much essential to this job. So, but before we get into that whole aspect of the show, I do want to say hello to our wonderful Patreon subscribers. Hi, thank you so much for all of your support after all these years, basically past two seasons, because you guys started in season four. But I just want to say thank you so much for your financial support. All of your money, as you know, goes to hosting on my website, which I really need to update, because that's another thing I forgot to do. But that's what we're going to do in spring break, which is not when this episode is being released. But yes, website hosting, that's where your money's going to, sometimes for adult industry events, because those can get kind of expensive as well. So thank you so much, because yeah, your money goes directly there. I do want to say hello to those who are in the second and third tier. You all get a fan recognition shout out on the show on each episode, so just want to say hello to Snoo Snoo from Germany. We've got Justin Erickson from Vancouver, Washington. We've got Red Door Products. Hello, Dan, from Seattle. We also got Bea York from Seattle as well. We love her. McKenna King, also a past guest, but from Edmonton. Eric Araujo, Moxie Mayhem, Selena Money, and Geyser. Thank you all so much. If you're curious in checking out the Patreon or becoming a patron and supporting the show, you can do that by going to patreon.com/strippedbysia, and we have tiers for as low as $4. That gives you access to all the upcoming episodes. You get the episodes a week earlier now as well. You got a lot of raw and uncut footage too. You get a sneak peek on guests and topics that I'm trying to develop and things that are behind the scenes. So lots of cool creative work and that kind of process goes on there. So again, if you want to check it out, it's patreon.com/strippedbysia. And if you're still here hanging out, it is time, because I am so excited to introduce our guest, or should I say reintroduce our guest, because she hasn't been on here for a while. As I mentioned, last time she was here, it was like episode 106, and I want to say this is going to be like episode 230, so it's going to be, it's been a minute, and I haven't seen this person in person in like 2 years, so it's been a while. Happy to catch up with her, and we're again talking about photography today, because she herself is a photographer. She's the owner of Cactus Camera Photography, also a fellow adult content creator as well. specializing in pee content, and I just want to give a warm welcome to the wonderful Cactus Cutie. Welcome back.
Your warmth is felt. Thank you so much. I am so happy to be back.
So happy for you to be here. And like, honestly, like we were catching up, like pre-recording. I was just like, I miss this person. I remember how much fun we had recording last time. So very happy.
Seriously. I already know that this one is going to be so much fun. We were already laughing before this. I'm here to have a good time and also educate.
Yes. Doing all the things. And we do have a ton of stuff to talk about today, which you're obviously an expert of. But before we get over on that whole piece, I do, as like you know before, I would love to flip the mic back to you, Cactus, so you can tell the audience in your own words and terms about who you are and go for it.
All right, who I am. I'm Cactus. As a model, I'm known as Cactus Cutie, but as a photographer, I am Cactus Camera, and all of that is spelled with K's instead of C's, because I just really like K's, and I like alliteration.
So, me too.
Steph, see, we've got some stuff in common, for sure. I was a photographer before I got into like modeling and sex work. I started photography in like 2011, like right around when I graduated high school. And I really started doing like boudoir photography probably around like 2014. So it's actually 2013, 2014. So it's been like 10 years since I've been doing boudoir photography now. So that's pretty cool. Yeah,
thanks.
And I've learned a lot. I've shot a lot of different things. I started shooting for Suicide Girls as a model and a photographer. I do not shoot for them anymore. That could be a different discussion if we want to talk about that. I've been planning for years to talk about it on YouTube, but whatever. That'll happen eventually. But yeah, photography, honestly is really a huge passion of mine. It's like, people say that they see me when I'm the happiest is when I'm behind the camera. And it's so, so true. So it really does bring my happy creativity. And I really love getting to make people feel really, really good about themselves on the other side of the camera during the before, during, after. I want them to like look at those photos and be like, wow, I feel really good about myself, and I had such a fun time doing it too. So I just really love doing photography. Right now I'm mostly shooting just sex workers, like femmes, non-binary, trans. I'm open to shooting a lot of people, but mostly right now, I can't take on a lot of work right now because I'm also a full-time sex worker and I do have a vanilla job too. So I've got lots going on. I'm trying to be creative all the time in different ways. I'm ADHD, so I can't like do one thing. So
girl, same.
Yeah. I mean, you do so much too. I know. Yeah.
It's a trend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is so, I didn't know you're doing it for that long already. Oh my gosh, congratulations. That's huge. Huge, huge, huge. And like, I love how you mentioned, like, you started off in boudoir, because maybe people don't know this, maybe people do, but there are different photographers for different occasions, different, you know, settings and landscapes and stuff like that too. So like, I really would love to talk about, you know, when you are selecting a photographer, where do you start? Because again, as mentioned, there are so many different kinds of photographers, and I don't want to start this negative, but yes, there are a lot, especially like a lot of men with a camera kind of thing. And like, I'm just building my portfolio, and they have nothing on their Instagram, nothing on their website. It's just like buildings and corporate shots. So like, let's talk about I'm just basing this on experience from
well,
what
like,
I have
so
seen.
True.
Yeah.
Let's
start there.
Sure. I think like starting very basic off, like if you're trying to find a photographer, Instagram is a great place to find people. You could just type in wherever you live, like Texas photographer or Illinois photographer or wherever you are, or a specific city or something. And people will be doing like hashtags. They'll be putting that in their bios. Like there's lots of ways you can find that. What I really like to do is I find photographers based off of models that I already follow. So I'm like, oh, I really love those photos. And it kind of already gives you a sense that maybe there's a little bit more of a comfortability there with that photographer rather than somebody who's like totally random off the internet. As for vetting a photographer, which I think is really, really important and everybody should do, you as a model should be worried about your safety, even though, and you mentioned like dude photographers have like buildings and stuff in their profiles, but there are a lot of dude photographers who have hundreds of thousands of followers who have beautiful shots of usually just butts and stuff, and which is great. I love butts. And but great photography, but then you hear like, oh, that is like this person has been doing this and this and this to these models, and they're still around years and years later, and people are still shooting with them because they see all these people in their profiles thinking, oh, all of these people shot with this person, this photographer, that must be safe for me to do too. And that is not true. Like I have definitely shot with photographers and they've posted my stuff and I didn't feel comfortable during the shoot. Or I've seen a lot of people have contracts with not just like modeling companies, which I don't think a lot of us really work with, but like Chatterbait or like big like sex work companies, like they have their photographers and stuff, which not everybody out there is a good, not just a good photographer, but like a person who cares about the well-being of the models there and isn't there for a different intention. So the way to vet, I think, is a great idea is to go through their profile and individually message some of the people on that they've posted. Yes. You can, if you really want to, you could like message the photographer and ask them for testimonials, but like you've got to know that they're probably biased. Yes. And be careful about what the models say back. There was this one time where I messaged a model because some photographer reached out to me and I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll message like one or two of the models. And I got this message back that said, oh yeah, he's a great photographer. Just be really firm with your boundaries. Not cool. And turns out that dude is like a very well-known predator. And I'm very glad that I didn't go through with it. And this person was a known apologist for his behavior. We 100%. So that's why I really suggest messaging a couple people that has worked with that photographer, or like if you have a good friend, like ask them their opinion or ask around other photographers who may have worked with them. Look in their tagged photos, look on their profile. Like you'll be able to see lots of different people who have worked with them. It's really all about safety, and like we can't all be sharing a blacklist on all of our profiles being like, don't work with these people.
Right.
And sometimes you can't always trust those blacklists either. So I don't want to scare people right away because there are really great people out there. There are wonderful photographers. You've got to think about your safety first. You've got to do your research. And especially if you're going to be one-on-one with this person, or you could be a friend, which we'll talk about later. Mm-hmm. Your safety matters, especially if it's in a nude or boudoir or that kind of vulnerability. I feel like there's like a power struggle there with the model and the photographer, because the photographer is taking the photos, they're editing, they have the art of you. So I think you need to be as responsible as you can about who you shoot with. And even if you do vet, you may not have the best experience, but you also might have an amazing experience. So Yeah.
I love how you turn that around, Cactus. That was so great. Like, we don't want to scare you, but...
We've got to be optimistic.
Yes, but we do have to keep our safety in mind. That's first and foremost. So I'm actually glad that we're just bringing that up right away because, like, again, like, I haven't talked about this since, like, season one, but also we talked briefly about model safety on the episode with Ariel Anderson on the season, especially her role as a submissive specifically, and, like, how those boundaries can also differ from just general model safety. So I'm really glad that we're, again, having this conversation. So many things I can touch on there. Oh, my gosh. Yes, follower counts and numbers – that's not always like a legitimate way of being like, is this person that just, I'm going to automatically bet this person because like that must mean they're okay. No, people, no, that does not always mean it's okay. So again, really, really do your research. And I said this before on Ariel's episode, but also messaging the models that, you know, are not, or like Ray down in the feed, like go message them because, again, there's biases that come with photography and you don't know what kind of relationship or dynamic that this person, this model has had. Or sometimes when you do ask the photographer, then they'll only give you specific names and not the rest. So to me, that's actually kind of red flaggy. So you should, again, go beyond that and not just take people's word for word because – unfortunately, there's just not a lot of people you can trust in this industry sometimes. So just want to throw that out there. And this is also not just for the sex industry, but in modeling in general. So,
oh, absolutely. It's in the fashion industry. It's literally everywhere.
Yes.
People with cameras can either create beautiful art or they can use it for a different intention or they can be both. But we have to be aware. It's hard. It sucks. But truly, it is about your comfortability during the whole thing. That's the main thing. My comfortability, sure, but like the model's comfortability absolutely matters the most.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And like since we are talking about, and this is the sex industry that we're in, when you do, you as a photographer, are you usually coming out to models to be like, hey, I want to shoot this boudoir shoot with you, or hey, I'm really interested in shooting this implied shoot with you, or is that something that you bring up later in conversation at the shoot? And we are going to talk about what happens at the shoot, but like I've had, again, coming from personal experience, have had people come out to me and be like, hey, this is what the concept is. Like, would you be interested in this? And then I've also had photographers try to push my boundaries on a shoot to be like, hey, actually, do you want to do some like implied shoots or more nudity things? I'm like, we never agreed to this stuff. And that puts me in like really weird, awkward position. I don't like it. Let's totally talk about that.
I have been on that side too as a model, being pushed out of my boundaries for what I had set up for the shoot and then feeling like I owed the photographer because they spent all that time and money to shoot me and blah, 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 blah. So, wait, what was the question?
I was so bad. Like, both ADHD brains right here.
Once I start talking about something, I forget the first thing that was asked.
Yeah, no. Like, just talking about, like, how do you, as a photographer, approach models? Because is that something that's communicated first, or is that communicated at the shoot? Sounds like a dumb question, but...
No, it's not. I think it depends on how the photographer works. So, I used to do concept shoots, and those were more for fashion and stuff, and maybe if there is boudoir... I wouldn't expect nudity. Especially since I like sharing stuff on Instagram, I love to get safer work shots anyway. So it's all up to the model if they want to be nude or not. And that's actually most of my shoots. I am either traveling in a certain state and I say, hey, book a shoot with me. I'm going to be here. I'm either booking this studio or this Airbnb or whatever. And then the model comes to me and they shoot whatever outfit they want to be in and they tell me what they want to do and I shoot it. But I'm there to facilitate the poses, the lighting, the mood, the comfortability, and make them feel really good. Because sometimes it's like, with a camera, you're just... modeling by yourself with a self timer. It's totally different. Come to me to shoot whatever they want, and I'll do that. I have never wanted to pressure somebody into nudity. I personally have no gain for it. I think I do have some beautiful nude shots that I've never ever shared, because also in my contract, or it's either contract or it's like discussed before or after the shoot. Are you comfortable with me sharing your nude photos online on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, Fansly, Patreon, whatever people do now. But me, I just want to respect their comfortability. Like, that's it. I'm just here to have a good time and take some photos. If you want to be nude, great. If you don't, also great.
Love that. And we are going to touch back later on the topic of comfortability later on during the shoot. But you also mentioned something as well, contracts. I really would love to hear about that, because sometimes, and again, if you're starting out, that's okay. Like, we're just here to provide you with as much information so you can just tackle all these photography.
You're just going to eat this up, just like nom, 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 nom. It's just like, whatever sticks to you, great. For contracts. There's quite a bit, because I really recommend, even if you're a model, I think if the photographer doesn't have a contract, I think you need to have something at least written somewhere that you can screenshot, show that you have evidence, you know, social, like you have the proof or whatever that you talked about certain things. But I really do think you should get a contract. And if you're a photographer and you don't have contracts, absolutely start making one for yourself. I started years and years ago when I was doing like just regular people. And it was like the basic contract, just like you agree to me taking your photos and posting them or whatever. Now, throughout the years, I have added in things that as I do shoots, I'm like, well, you know what? This model and I discussed this. I think it actually might be better for us to just have it written on the contract. So I've been adding things in, like I have adding in sometimes I've my contract has been changing recently, so there's sometimes like sections to put your comfortability, like please don't post this sensor, or like please post it only if it's censored, or please don't post open vulva, or please if top nudity is fine, or nothing, whatever. I've also added in like if you don't want me to post a certain amount of your photos, there's like an additional fee, because I have a low price because I can share my stuff and get more clients. But if you don't want me to share it, then it's an extra fee. I have putting in your like all of your social media and your websites that I can tag so I can properly credit you. And then I have in a section where I have in all of my tags so that models can properly correct me. And I also have a statement that says, if you do not tag me correctly and you refuse to tag me correctly, or if you put like a filter or something on it, on top of my own editing, there's going to be like it's a small fee, but it's like a little bit to show like, hey, this is really important, because tagging is very important. And I'm sure you and I can get into something about that. Yep.
We'll talk about that later.
We will talk about tagging. And then I have a section that says, I agree to the model using these photos for promotions, prints, photo sets, whatever. Because some photographers only want to have people post on, like, they don't want them to make money off of it. So I always just blatantly say, yes, you can, just so models can see it in the contract. And I don't know, I think that's kind of it. And I also don't allow, like, editing on top of my photos. So I kind of, like, blatantly say, like, you can use it in your story, and you can put fun text over it, and like that I don't consider editing. I consider editing like like putting an Instagram filter on top of what the hours I put into figuring out the coloring for your photo.
Why would you do that?
I've had it done so many times. But and also just like how to tag me and how to correctly do it and all that kind of stuff. I really think that contracts are so, so important. Also just to confirm that my model is 18 or up. Like that's also in there too. Yes. Very important. but I think contracts are easily missed because people are like, I don't want to do paperwork. Like people in the sex work industry do that too. When they do collabs, they don't do paperwork. And then that one time you don't do paperwork, it's like, shit, I really should have done paperwork. I really wish that we had agreed on certain aspects about this because I just don't feel comfortable with how things are being done. So I think it helps everybody get on the same page, even though it's a little bit of extra work. I do mine, actually, I do mine over DocHub. So it's not during the shoot. It's like, whatever, you can just exist in the shoot radiance. And then once I'm done editing, then I will send you the contract. You sign that. It's like a easy, you put in your signature, blah, 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 and then put in your social media and your sites and whatever. Honestly, it takes 5 minutes tops. And then I send them their photos afterwards. So I think it's a huge part of the process. It makes me feel comfortable with the models knowing that I know what they're going to be doing with my photos and that they're going to tag me and vice versa. So they know that I'm not going to make them feel uncomfortable or use their content in a way that wouldn't make them feel comfortable because it is their image. So,
right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I appreciate this so much. Seriously. Cause like, honestly, yes. Some of us just really don't want to do contracts cause it's just we're lazy and we do it all the time and we collab and all the stuff, but also like, it can also be very overwhelming looking at contracts. And, you know, I'm really glad you're able to break that down for us and what this stuff actually means, because sometimes people just don't read it and we just don't know what we're signing. But make sure that you are going through every line item and you are understanding what you are signing up for, what you are willing to not do, not share, because at the end of the day, this is your face and body and everything there. So just, again, just coming at you so you are well-informed and well-equipped when you go on your next shoot.
Totally. And I appreciate all questions. If you have any questions for me about the contract, about anything, like, I'm not like, you gotta sign the contract, no question, blah, blah. It's like, feel free. This is an open conversation. Like, we both need to feel comfortable about this. And I want to make sure I get the best consent I can of you, so I'm just not disregarding any of your boundaries.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, on that topic, I think boundaries does go on the topic about like getting prepped and getting ready for a shoot. Maybe we can pivot to that kind of conversation.
Yeah, we can. I was going to say a bad word and then I corrected myself and I'm like, who am I?
I've never heard you say a bad word funny. Ever, but
that's so funny because I do all the time. It's my persona is I come off as, oh, I'm just such a good girl, but I'm not. But as for boundaries and comfortability, for prepping for a shoot and those two combined, I think that if there's anything that you're going to be uncomfortable about during a shoot, you can either tell the photographer beforehand or during the shoot. Depends on if you think it's going to like change how the shoot is actually run. I'm a person who's like, if you want to give me all the information you want to, great. Or if you just want to show up and I've got a cute little set and you just come with some lingerie or cute outfit, fine by me. It's all about how the other side, how you want to prepare. I am showing up the best I can. But I do love when people send like Pinterest boards They tell me what kind of look they're going for or what they're using the photos for. I think that really helps me is like, is this going to be more of a high-end thing? Is this going to be like full service sex worker using it for their profiles, or is it going to be like somebody using it for their OnlyFans, or is it like an Instagram? Right. Like everything, because like if it's Instagram, then we've got to make sure it's safe for work. If it's like OnlyFans, it's like whatever, let's do it. Let's have fun. But yeah, it like really gives me a sense of like how I should prepare for the shoot as well, and for my mentality and how we can kind of interact. I don't know, like, I guess as in like preparing for a shoot, I feel like I almost put my shirt down too far. I think getting prepared and making sure that you're going to be comfortable, like, so I think maybe we should talk about like what to bring for a photo shoot.
Sure.
Number one, water. Plenty yes. of water. You know, I'm the queen of, I love hydration. I got my bevies with me all the time. Yes. Oh, that's such a cute glass. Oh my God.
Thank you.
So cute. And then I've got like my raggedy, why did I do that? Why did I do the ASMR thing? I've never done that. Okay.
No, that's okay. We're in for a treat right now.
But I think you should make sure that you are going to be healthy and be your best self during the shoot. So bring water. Make sure that you're drinking throughout the shoot. I know, and here's a big thing, and this might be a trigger warning for people with either just around food. I have had quite a few models show up to a shoot and be like, I haven't eaten all morning because right. I don't want to bloat. Yes. I don't want to look bigger in my shoots. But honestly, I gotta say, even if you ate a granola bar, if you had some fruit, if you had something even light, I don't care what it is, put something in your body. Give your body nourishment, because the way that you show up to shoot and how you feel in your body really is going to translate on camera. And I, not even just that, I care about your health. I become like such a mom on shoots. I'm like, do you have water? Do you have food? Can I get you something? Do you need a condom? Whatever. You know? I'm a cool mom. But I really, really think that how you show up to the shoot and how you feel about yourself is absolutely going to reflect. So your health, very important. Mm-hmm. For other things, like bring outfits, bring what you were going to prepare, but then bring extra just in case. Yes. You never know if it's going to rip, if it's going to get it dirty, if it doesn't fit like you thought it would. Yes. Or if it just doesn't look good with the set, you always want different options. Mm-hmm. Bring makeup for touch-ups, bring hair accessories, bring your hairbrush, literally everything you can think of. I honestly would rather somebody show up to the shoot with like 5 bags of stuff than bring nothing. But I understand that everybody has a bunch of stuff to bring and a lot of things. That's why, like, if you ever shoot at I have a studio in my apartment. I'm happy to let you borrow anything that I have. I try to have different sizes, but that would be cool if I could have more options for people. But also what I think is really, really important is like about like comfortability and boundaries. Like, you can discuss this with your photographer beforehand or during, but I really think you should tell them. Like, I've had people say, hey, I don't feel really comfortable about my chin or like this scar that I have right here or something. And it's like, instead of me going through and like editing I personally don't like doing a lot of beauty editing, just not even because it's a lot of work, but just because I really want the person to know that that was their true beauty. Yeah. I used to be in e-commerce and doing fashion photography, and they made us made everything thin, everything thing is gone. Gosh. Everything is perfect. So I am trying to step away from that and create beautiful sets and shoot with beautiful people and show them that they're beautiful, just the way they are. So
that's amazing.
But if you feel uncomfortable, that we're not going to try to like embrace something that you are not comfortable embracing yet. It doesn't have to be like a, oh my God, girly, you can do it. But it can be like, okay, I understand that. You know what? Maybe we can do some poses where your face is turning away or where your body is angled a little bit differently. I always want to make sure. And then like, during the shoot, I guess we could like kind of transition is yeah, like I'm always checking in. Like every 5 to 10 minutes, I'd be like, how are you doing? How are you feeling about the photos? I always show my favorite photos while we're shooting to the model.
Good.
Because a lot of people are like, are you going to show me? Can I see? And I'm like, yeah, yes. Absolutely. You need to see what you're creating. Mm-hmm. So I really think that helps not only with the model's comfortability, but their confidence and like excitedness and like, oh, I see what they're seeing. Okay, that's cool. Or sometimes I'll have a mirror on set so they can see themselves, especially like people who are new to modeling. They feel very uncomfortable about posing. So right. If they can kind of see themselves in a mirror while I'm shooting, then I feel like that really helps them be like, okay, this is my body. This is how it moves. This is how I feel comfortable when I look in the mirror. So there's a lot. I'm rambling. I'm so excited to talk about this stuff.
I love that. No, this is so informative too, because cool. Maybe some people listening have not gone to shoot or maybe just like haven't gone on great shoots and stuff too. And
I wish the best shoots for all of you. Yes. You all deserve a good shoot and fun. Yeah, speaking of actually what I also love to do, I have a photo shoot playlist. Or I'll ask the model like, hey, if you don't like my music, is there anything that makes you feel comfortable and like grooving and having a good time? Cause that's what I want to capture is I always think capture and shoot. Those are such aggressive words for I'm taking a picture. I want to really represent somebody's happiness. Like I truly love that. Or somebody having a good time or feeling comfortable in their own body. I just love that. I genuinely do. So, anything to do to keep the vibe going, especially like if I'm not having fun, the model's definitely not going to have fun. So that's why I'm like, really, I call myself a model cheerleader. Cause I'm always like, yeah, oh my God, like I'm freaking out all the time.
I love it. I can picture that.
We should do a photo shoot.
I know. Last time I was in, can I say location?
Arizona?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Last time we were in Arizona, like I was just there in such a tight timeline and it didn't quite work.
I know. Doing convention stuff is always so hard, especially when you're traveling out of town. Yes. It's like trying to cram so much into every day. Ridiculous.
You need to book like in a separate week or like additional 3 days just to do other things.
I know. I end up doing that and then you spend way more money and then do you get it back? I don't know, maybe, but it's worth it for the creation with other people.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like what else during a shoot. Always make sure you're on the same page. Like I said, I always do check-ins. And it's not just like a comfortability check-in, like, how are you feeling in your body? It's also like, how are you feeling about the photos? Like, do you feel comfortable with how much we've shot? Do you feel comfortable with what I've shown you? Do you think that you're going to get the outcome that you want? And if they say no, let's keep shooting. I'm like, fine, cool. I want to make sure that, because you're paying me, I want to make sure that you get what you want out of this shoot. Let's see. I have a list. I wrote so much down.
No, I love this. I don't want to miss anything.
And I don't want to miss a thing.
Love that song.
Yes. yeah. Can you? Oh, okay. So, like, this is something I've been trying to practice for a while is getting consent during the shoot. So when a model's hair is like out of place, or there's a strap that's kind of like twisted, or like something is tucked, right? Ugh. I don't always go up to the model and just be like, fix. I say, hey, right. I see this tag. Would you mind if I went up and I put it back into your shirt? Yeah. Because like, people are not asking to be touched. I don't care if I'm a woman and I feel, you know, I'm trying to give off a safe vibe. It doesn't matter. It depends on their comfortability. And I want them to know that I am only going there to do that one thing. And then, you know, and every time something happens, I go, okay, wait, can I do that again? Or, hey, can I now touch your hair? Or, like, 5 minutes, even if it's 5 minutes later, I still check back in. And they're always like, yeah, you don't have to ask. I'm like, I'm going to ask. Just because I want to make sure that we're both on the same page all the time. I don't want to spook you, scare you. So,
by the way, that's so good.
Just in general, I think we should ask people if we can touch them before we touch them.
Consent. That'd be great. Sexy y'alls.
Ask first. But yeah, I think those are like my main things for comfortability. Mm-hmm. Besides just like, yes, I'm a fun, oh my God, I'm like so fun, you guys. But I really try to put that on because I want that model to feel really fun and having comfortable on the other side. So I really think that like the whole environment that you create beforehand, how you're talking to them, if you're not in their DMs, like, I think you're sexy. Fire emojis when they post a picture of their butt. It's like, as a photographer, you are not here to be anything else except for a photographer. Exactly. You are. I can say great photo. I'm going to say great photo, great pose. But during a photo shoot, there is one time I was shooting with a guy, and I know I was shooting boudoir, but this is one person who was pushing my boundaries, made me shoot nude when I didn't want to, and also, all of the comments were like, yeah, that's sexy. Oh, yeah, that's so fucking sexy. Like, all, and I'm like,
stop.
I want you to say that it's a good pose. I want you to say that it looks good on the camera. Like, that is what you should be concerned about as a photographer, unless you have clearly stated beforehand that comfortability, like, you are comfortable with that language. I don't think you should ever be saying those words to a model, ever.
Agreed. And there's so many different ways, as you have already laid out, to properly, and I do believe it's a proper way of communicating things to models in a professional manner, because there's way too many instances of, unfortunately, photographers and people really like towing the line, and it's just not a great feeling. And again, it's that power that you're trying to fight with, and just stop doing that. Like, please, photographers, if you're one of those creepy ass photographer people, just stop doing that. It's so gross. Like, it's just gross behavior, and it makes me never want to shoot with, unfortunately, it's been men. It's really impacted some of the models you've shot with or shoot with, because that is, I'm a direct response to that. I do not shoot with men anymore because of other issues too. So, and Kat is like, me too.
It's I've sad. Maybe, even if you have a good experience, then I've even heard things afterwards being like, oh, that person does the, and I'm like, damn it. And I don't want to say all male photographers are bad. That is,
it's not that.
It's not an all men are bad, all men suck kind of thing. It's just like, this is our legitimate lived experience that at least 90% of the shoots I've been on that a manly man has been a photographer, I have either not liked the photos, felt uncomfortable during, or felt uncomfortable after, because they kept pursuing and trying to talk to me in ways that I was not comfortable with. It's like, I'm here to be a model. I'm not here to entertain any type of fantasies you have with me.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I remember one of the shoots I had, oh my God, now we're going to horror stories. one of the shoots I had, I remember like the photographer brought a bottle of wine to drink, and this is like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. I'm like, is this appropriate? And I'm just like, I like wine, so I'm like, I guess it's okay. And then of course, like, looking back at it, how like silly was that idea? And that I'm that not is, gonna yeah
it's really common, unfortunately. There's a lot of people who I've heard have shown up and there is alcohol waiting for them at the set. Me, I even at like I smoke weed. I sure I do it recreationally, but mostly I do it medicinally for my pain and my anxiety. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's important to talk to, if somebody is one sober or uncomfortable, yes, being around intoxication, yes, already you've broken a trust and boundaries and stuff like that. I ask, hey, is it okay if I smoke this? Either, you know, I can step out, or if it's during the shoot, just let me love know. Like I said, it's all about consent. Like, every aspect you think you're bringing to this, like, that you haven't thought about, think about it. Like, there's probably things that I haven't even, like, I mean, there's experiences that are going to teach me more, you know, like, oh, shit, I should have done that. You know, like, I'm not saying every person has to be perfect. I'm just saying, just try to see the other person as another person. Like, if you were in that position, how would you like to be treated?
Empathy goes a long way. Let's just say that, right?
We love empathy.
We do. We love her.
We do. She can
sit with us.
She can sit with us for sure.
I mean, this is all great in terms of, like, you know, managing your expectations during, before and during a shoot. But can you tell us, like, what your process is after the shoot? Because, of course, it's always that fun waiting game. And then, but, like, what, and again, this is totally subjective as well, depending on photographer to photographer. So what is an appropriate wait time for your photos? Talk to us about this.
This can vary from photographer to photographer. I've had people give me photos the next day, and I'm like,
how?
Well, I am genuinely impressed. Like, me as a photographer, I am not like that at all. Me personally, I say 4 to 6 weeks. I take a little bit time because I also, photography is not my main job. I have other photo sets that I'm editing before yours, usually. Yours as in I'm talking to you and you have gotten a photo set from me. So we do the shoot after that. Usually takes 4 to 6 weeks. And also, I'm a person who likes to sit on photos for a while. If I go through, I do a couple different kind of color editing on a couple different photos, and I step away, and then I come back, because me, I just don't work that way. I cannot just go from here to here. Like, I always, when I come back, I'm like, oh, I found a way to make it better, and I found a way that why I wasn't liking it this way, or why I liked this. So I personally, I am more into the art of the photography. I want to make sure that whatever the person gets back, they're really, really proud of it. And I've had some photos done by photographers who are really quick. And one of them told me, like, oh, shoot, I need to edit 10 photo shoots this weekend. And I was one of those. And then the photos I got back were, like, not even cropped. There was stuff still in it. It was just, like, haphazardly done. And I want to make sure that what people are getting back hydration. They're going to be so happy with, and they don't feel like, I wish they had done it this way, I wish they had put more time in it. Like, I want to make sure what you get back. And plus, I also end up giving bloopers and stuff too, because I think those are funny. Like, if your eyes are half closed or you're making a weird face, I love, yeah. Honestly, if you just wanted to show those, I'd be happy. But I take a little bit. I've also had some photographers take 3 to 6 months because they have such a big lineup of shoots. So, like, you can either be really quick at it and get your photos back really quickly, or the photographer is going to take a while, and hopefully that amount of time is worth it to you. Sometimes it's either included in the price, however they set up, because they're like, hey, you're going to get it in a while, or sometimes photographers will give you, like, if you really need a photo, like, sometimes I'll go in and be like, yeah, it may not be the best photo, but if you really need something right now, I'll do it. But I've also done things where it's like, hey, I know I have a deadline. You know, the price will be this because it's going to be a little bit quicker or something like that. So it just really matters about when you're ready to, if you need them back immediately or not. But with me, you may have to wait a little bit. But trust me, the photos that you, and I usually end up editing a little bit too much because I get so excited and I'm like, I like this photo. No, I like this photo. So I try to, and I also communicate, like, feel free to check in about the photos, like, especially after, like, I don't know, I say after 2 to 4 weeks, you can start checking in. If it's before that, don't bother your photographer, unless you had agreed on a certain deadline that you need the photos by. Totally understand. But especially if it's a free photo shoot, don't expect it back immediately either, because, like, I'll do some trades with some people, but then I get paid photo shoots and I need to edit those first. So it's like, you know, even though you're a free photo shoot, like, it was free, but you're going to have to kind of wait to be pushed back into my line. Right. Because there's people. So, I've had, you know, I know every photographer is absolutely different and how they give out their photos and how they do I think it just needs to be communicated with the model. Usually I'll do it, like, after the photo shoot. I'll be like, okay, so once I finish editing the photos, it'll be, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. You can check in with me. Then what I'm going to do is I'll send you a contract to sign. And then after you sign that contract, I will send you the Dropbox folder of, you know, whatever photo sets and how many outfits we did. And then after that, they can do whatever they want with it as long as they tag me correctly. I love it when models post photos from our photo sets. It just makes me so happy to see that somebody is, like, happy about the photos and they want to share it. But yeah, I think every photographer is different, so don't expect the same thing from every single photographer. I've had people be like, but I've had photographers do this, or I've had photographers do this. It's like, but I'm not that person. I have a different life. I have a different way of doing things. We're all different, but it's just about communication and knowing what your expectations are.
I love that. No, and this is so important too, because, like, I've heard so many stories about, like, you know, pestering the photographer and just asking the photos are ready and stuff like that. I've also had, and this happens a lot too, the raw files. I tell you this question's gonna come, but tell us your trauma with raw files.
So here's the thing. I love that people have confidence in my photography, that they think it looks good right out the camera. I love that. Thank you. But you don't realize that there's so much more that goes into a photo once I give it to you. You're paying for my time, my art, my direction, and the outcome of the photo. You're not paying for access to all the raw, unedited photos. You're not going to like them that much. They're not as saturated. They're not, as quality looking. I go through and I do saturation of colors. Not only that, but, like, I crop things out. Like, you can't expect every single photo to look good. And also, I feel like if you want, then why did you, oh my God, we need the water again. It's a dry climate. Okay. But I think expecting that from a photographer is a lot. If you really want that and you think you have a photographer who wants to edit it or you're going to do it or whatever, you need to tell that photographer ahead of time that that is what you're expecting. Yes. And you've got to be prepared to be turned down, because a lot of photographers won't do that unless you pay the right price. Yes. Like, you're paying for the entire catalog of everything that person shot of you. Like, sometimes I'll shoot up to 1,000 photos during a photo set. Really? Sometimes. Yeah. It depends on how many edit, like, how many photo, what's the word?
Outfits?
How many outfits we do. And just what they want and if they felt good about each thing. It just depends. I'm a little snap happy. But, like, that's, you're getting so much out of me then. Mm-hmm. And that's just not really valuing the what else I put into my photos. And, like, you're hiring me because you liked my vibe and my style and my aesthetic and how I edit. Then why are you taking that away from the art? Right. So, there's a lot of reasons why people don't give it out. But really just, you're not going to be satisfied with it. And, I don't shoot on RAW because my RAW files are fucking huge. Cause this thing I shoot on an R5, and it's massive files. Cause the photos are huge, which is great, but I shoot on JPEG now, but most people shoot on like CR2 or like LR, and those are like specifically for that camera to go into editing programs. You can't mm-hmm. edit those in a regular program like I don't know, PixArt or whatever. you need to know what you're doing with the photos. Right. So RAW photos,
no,
that's my no. Womp womp.
Don't yeah do. So I had to ask that question because I didn't,
of course. It's you like every photographer's nightmare.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. My husband was asking for that from our wedding photographer. I'm like, babe, no.
You know the thing.
Are you serious right now? Like, hell's fucking no. I mean, it was like cool to see the RAW files because our videographer included that.
Sure.
And that was cool. But there was a lot of shitty things. There was a lot of shitty, weird angles and blurred and, like, shit that you don't want to see.
Right.
Basically.
You're getting the photos I accidentally took of my cat or the blurry photos that are in between stuff. Like, that's what RAW is, kind of.
Yes.
But, yeah, I think it's kind of neat. Like, if you want to see them, like, if you just want to see them and not have them, I'll show them to you. But I am also not that kind of photographer who, actually I should say the kind of photographer I am is, a person who, I lost it. See, I tried to flip myself on there. Here's what it is. So I edit based on the photos that I like and I think the model is going to like. Mm-hmm. I do not say, here are the RAW files, tell me what you want me to edit. That's not something I do. Maybe you picked a photo that is really hard to color edit, or maybe you picked something that is just not going to turn out the way you expect it to, mm-hmm. or maybe you pick way too friggin' many, and then I'm like, hey, okay, so if you want that many, then we'll have to do more on the budget, and people of don't course. Usually want that. Right. So then people feel like they're not getting enough. I don't know. Mm. It's just like, I would rather go through. I love the curation of it. I love culling. That's what it's called. CULLING. You cull through your, and it's like picking out which photos you think are going to be best. And I'm going through hundreds and I'm picking out 40, 60 at most. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I go a little crazy and I do 90, but that's because I just go nuts. And I get excited. But for most of the time, I'm not picking every photo for sure. You're not going to want every photo.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so glad that we addressed that. You're able to talk about it. I know we touched on it earlier too, but kind of to wrap up this portion of the show, talking about how to be a safer photographer for your models, I think, you know, we started off the episode with safety. I think it's also appropriate that we also end this from your perspective as well. So go off, sister.
Like safety as in like how to talk to people or after the photo shoot or
however you want to disassemble that question.
Okay.
Because yeah, we talked a little bit about safety, but we also talked about comfortability as well. We talked about language communication, but also like, to sum it up.
yeah, I guess to sum it up, comfortability. That's literally, that's the key. That's the one thing you should be thinking about. Your comfortability, your comfortability always comes first, the model, you. As a photographer, your comfortability also matters, but like I said, there's a power dynamic there, mm-hmm. and I think you should just really be as aware at how you can be the most respectful person and professional. Right. Professional really, like, I mean, you can say it for any industry. Like, you wouldn't want to work for somebody who just, like, slid in your DMs and was being slimy and, like, hey, right. I want to do this business deal with you. Or, like, can I take you out to dinner? Or, no. I don't know. It's like, no, I'm not going to work with you. I want to feel respected as a model. I want to feel like you are going to value me as a person first, not as an object, and not for your fantasy or whatever, because I am in my own world. I'm in my own body. I'm not in your world. Like, your world does not revolve, whatever. You are not the center of the universe.
I get what you're trying to say.
Thank you. I appreciate that. As a photographer, it's really hard because I am a woman photographer, and sometimes that is the thing that gives me a quote unquote, like, leg up. And it really honestly sucks to know that, because I would rather people just have a comfortability with anybody they shoot with. But time and time again, I've heard people that they are just not comfortable shooting with them. I mean, myself included, just not anymore. So I know that because I have that, now I feel like I have this extra responsibility, as everybody should in general, to make that person feel like they are safe, comfortable, and that, yeah, they're just respect. Like, this is a professional relationship that we have. Sure, if we become friends or whatever, cool. Like, I love that. I love making friends with models. It's a bonus, but, like, that is not the reason you should be shooting with people. Is That's if not you the goal. Want, if you want the bodies,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
I want the art. I want the creation. I want to share photos of how much fun we had together and the cool sets I made and wherever we shot or whatever. I was in AVN this year, I rented this, I got this hotel, and in one of the rooms, I cleared everything out and created a whole photo set inside there, and just had, like, models come and shoot there. But it was this really, oh my God, I can't wait to edit the photos. I'm still behind. I shot so much at Expos LA and AVN back to back.
They're back to back too. And I'm sad I missed you at AVN, but I was also very, like, weird and antisocial, which isn't a great thing to do at conventions. So,
well, it's hard to always be, I mean, those things are, like, there's so many people all around all the time. It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's
but
a lot.
we'll see each other another time.
Our pathways will cross.
Yeah, and we'll have to shoot for sure.
Yes.
Do you want to hear about what it's been like since I lost my OnlyFans?
Oh yeah, what the hell? Why didn't I go over that? I meant to do that earlier, but yes, please, because, like, if you were listening to Cactus's original episode 106, a PR nightmare gone wrong. Basically, the gist of that episode was that because of this article, working with a certain PR agent that we both know, she had lost her OnlyFans, which is a huge stream of income for you. And that was, like, really fresh when that came out. Like, I feel like that just happened to you, like, maybe a week or two prior to that recording. But I would love an update before we go into questions. So
absolutely. I still am not allowed on OnlyFans. And now a bunch of people are getting kicked off, so I don't feel like special anymore, because I'm not, like, the girl who lost her OnlyFans. It's like everybody's doing it now.
Everyone's
cool.
Lost it. So.
Yeah. Everybody's going to. So I went to Fansly, which I had talked in that episode as well. And Fansly has been treating me pretty well. I will say it's trying just as hard, if not harder, on that site, and I'm not making as much as I was on OnlyFans still. Mm. And it's just because OnlyFans has such a name for itself that people would rather... They already have an OnlyFans account, so why not just subscribe to somebody else instead of creating a new website, having to get verified on that?
It's easier. I get it.
It really is. Like, I was able at first, I got like 100 subscribers, and now I'm like, I'm not able to keep that up anymore. Like, even like 100 felt like amazing, and that's not even a bunch, I feel. Yeah. But now I definitely don't have anything near that, and I am struggling for income.
I'm sorry, I mean, that.
It's okay. I mean, I this freaking, it's not even just inflation, it's just corporate greed right now. Mm-hmm. It's just making it a lot harder, and especially if you have a disability like I do, I have to eat a lot of special food, which is very expensive, and pay for things that are expensive and whatever. So, and this is, that's why I do this job, is because I can be at home most of the time, go out for a shoot, come back, sit down, edit, like I can take care of myself. But Fansly has been, and I really highly recommend Fansly if you are looking for a new site, and you can use my referral code if you want to sign up. Message me on Twitter. I'm at CactusQDPs. But it's been hard. It's been really hard. And now, especially with new laws coming into play and states even banning porn and...
Yes.
It's been so much harder to be a sex worker, just in general. Not even just somebody who isn't on OnlyFans. Just, like, I'm on so many sites, and I'm still trying to just scramble it all together and make it work. So it's difficult out here. But we're trying, and I just want to keep creating art and making people happy. So I'm doing my best to do that for sure. But to all the people on OnlyFans, congratulations that you've stayed this far.
Staying on there, yes, but my subscribers have not. So,
well, I mean, like, people can barely afford groceries now. How are they going to afford porn? You know, like, we're the first thing that gets taken away when people, you know, we're a luxury item. We're entertainment.
Of course. Oh, yeah. And I'll have to do an episode of that, too, because I've been meaning to talk about that in general.
Yeah.
But stay tuned. Still developing. I still got to find someone to talk with me about that. But we're still in this episode for right now. And there are a few questions, the nerdy detail questions that have come in, and I would love to discuss them with you because I'm also curious.
Yeah, what do the people want to know about me?
Well, people on Twitter want to know, what editing software do you use?
So I use Lightroom for like 99% of everything now.
Lightroom's awesome.
Lightroom's great. I used to be a Photoshop, all Photoshop, and then I stopped doing as much beauty editing, and now most of my stuff is just color editing, so I've made my own, like, presets that I can just use and tweak and, you know, whatever I gotta do. Lightroom's great. I highly recommend Lightroom. There's lots of different things you can play with. Not on mobile, on desktop.
Yes.
Mobile is very...
Big difference.
Big difference. There's a Lightroom Classic, and then there's a Lightroom, like,
There was an app for that.
yeah. There's Adobe Lightroom and there's Adobe Lightroom Classic. If you have the one that's like on your desktop, that's not like a cloud service, that's my favorite. The cloud service one is nice if you want to be able to edit between your phone and your computer, but it just doesn't give you as many like editing features that I usually use when I'm editing. So, meh. Yeah. Photoshop is great if you want to do some extra stuff. Like, sometimes I'll, like, flip an image so I have, like, one person, but they're flipped, like, looking at each other or whatever.
Yeah.
I play around like that, but honestly, I don't do that much anymore for the crazy editing. I love to, but I just don't do it as much anymore.
Yeah, and that's fine. Lightroom. That's totally fine. Do it. Similar to that question, how much time do you put into editing per week? Can you even quantify this?
Per week is really different because some weeks I do zero and some weeks I do like 30. So like it depends on, because like also ADHD, 1 week I'll be like, I really love sex work. And then 1 week I'm like, oh my God, I just want to edit photos like the whole time. So it really just depends on my dopamine level for that day. Yeah, but I think the full, I'll say like how much I edit per photo set. So for culling and like organizing, that takes about like 30 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on how many photo sets we did, like how many outfits we did. Mm-hmm. And then editing, the color editing, it really depends. It depends on how many photos. It could be like 2 hours of editing, or it could be like 8 to 10 hours of editing. So you're really like, when you're paying for a photo shoot with somebody, you're not just paying for the hourly rate that you're there with them. You're paying for the organization, the editing, then you're paying for, you know, I've set up all these contracts. I pay for all this equipment. I pay for Lightroom. Yep. I pay for all these different editing programs. You're paying for
everything
that I've put into this. So, I put a lot of time into stuff, and some people are a lot quicker. Some people take a lot longer. It's just everybody's different. Everybody's different. But that's just how it works for me. And like I said, I like to really take my time on photos. So like I'll sit on it for a day, come back or a couple days, just because I need some time to like refresh.
Yeah, you know? That's really important.
There's one time I was working on a photo for like 30 minutes straight and doing beauty. This is when I was still doing some beauty editing. And I was zooming in, just getting every little detail. And then I zoomed out. And I was like, what the fuck is this? It was like the people, their eyes were completely just white. Like just bright as hell, no texture on their skin. It was the worst thing I've ever done in my life. So that, from then on, I've been like, okay, we step back and then we go.
We take breaks, we refresh, we come back with a clear mind, different perspective.
Yes.
That's a good process to have.
New day, new editing, new mind. So.
Last question is, what ways do you get in the mood to help you edit? Such as like tea, music, a bowl, dab, whatever.
Oh, love this. I have two me's. One me sits in silence and is completely hyper focused. And I'm like, I can't even get up to pee. I have water next to me. That's it. You know, that's when I'm like, oh, I'm in the hyper focus mode. Then there's other me where I'm blasting music. I'm singing along. I'm having a good time. I'm bopping my head while I'm editing. Usually I love a good tea. Or I have a bubbly, literally my beverages. all the time. I bet you understand. Hydration. I don't know if this is 100% true, but it works for me. But I actually smoke before I work. I know some people can't do that, but it actually puts me into hyper-focus mode. Ooh. So when I'm smoking, I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. I am creative. I'm so cool. It just really, and then like there's 30 minutes that go by and I'm like, wait, I've been like editing just so hyper-focused. So I do smoke some weed. But yeah, it really depends on the day that I'm having, I guess. But I do like to try to make it fun, but then other times it's just
work.
I am
work.
In the zone.
Yeah.
Auto zone.
Fair enough. That's like me in editing too. Like for me, it's like if I'm really needing to hyper focus, I need to listen to music that's like the lo-fi chill music to study to on YouTube/ like Apple or Spotify music. And it has to have no lyrics. I'm just like in the zone, do my thing, and I don't move. Or it's another thing if it's like a pretty easy podcast, then I'll like maybe listen to a podcast, but it's like really hard to concentrate on two conversations. I'm like, no, none of this. Give me music, instrumentals only. So it's cool to hear your process.
Yeah. No, I get it. Like sometimes I try to watch a TV show or something, but like my brain, I'm thinking inside it. So I'm like, this needs to be more purple. This needs to be blah, 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 blah. And then you miss like a whole thing. And then you go back 5 minutes and then you start working again. And you're like, wait, I literally just missed the part I tried to listen to. So I don't really watch shows, but I definitely will listen to music for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. the most important question, Cactus.
Yes.
As we are, unfortunately, at the end of our conversation today.
No!
But you know what question is coming. Where can we all find you and / how can we book you?
Well, my photography page, the best way you can find me is Instagram.com/cactus with a K, camera with a K. So Cactus Camera. I'm also Cactus Camera on Twitter. You can find me as a model, Cactus Cutie. .com or beaconsday.ai/cactuscutie, whatever. And see some, because I've also done some modeling work too. So I do have modeling photos, and I also do sex work. But I would love to shoot with some wonderful people, especially you. Anybody who's listening, feel free to contact me. If you are in the Southwest area, I am out of Arizona, but I do travel. And I'm actually, I haven't announced this to my fans yet, but I'm doing a like summer tour. So I'm going to be going around quite a few areas in the United States and trying to work with how many people I can. So that's going to be fun. Yeah, because I feel like I really enjoy the travel aspect and the meeting new people aspect. So if you want to shoot with me, see if I'm going to be in your area and see all the cute people that I take pictures of, because they're also really nice people.
Love that. Oh my gosh. Everyone go book Cactus, or at least go give her a follow. Subscribe to all of the things that she does, because she has a lot of things. And maybe I'll see you.
I would love that. Yeah, we have to make something happen.
Yeah, we will make something happen. But we'll talk after we stop recording. But all those links are in the show notes. So do your part, everyone, and follow all the things. But also, if you feel like also get in contact with me for some reason, with any questions, comments about the show, whether you like them or not. Again, it is Stripped by Sia on X. I'm most active on there. Also on Instagram, Stripped by Sia Podcast on Instagram. You could also go to my website, you could also go to Patreon, patreon.com/strippedbysia, but also strippedbysia.com, and that's where you can kind of pitch yourself to me. Yes, I do say pitch because it is a pitch. I would love to hear what your episode is, like Cactus wonderfully did. She gave me an outline of what she wanted to speak about. That's really, really important. I am casting for season 7. I am actively looking for new topics and ideas to explore with new folks to bring onto the show for season 7, which will be starting soon, I think just before the summer. So get at me and we'll be in touch. But for the meantime, like, review, rate 5 stars if you want to on Apple and Spotify. I'd love to hear all these wonderful reviews. They're funny and really interesting for me to read. But I'm rambling now, so catch me in, and whoever it is going to be next week, for another brand new episode next Sunday, dropping at Pacific Standard Time at midnight. Okay, that's all for now. Cactus, are so lovely to see you again.
I know! Wow, that was really high pitch. I know! It was really great. Thank you so much for having me on. I've been wanting to talk about photography stuff for a while and like share this information. So thank you for giving me a way to share it.
You're so welcome. I hope that people have some good takeaways from the episode, and hopefully, again, leaving this episode with an informed approach about photography that you choose and whatnot. So thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Stripped by Sia,
hosted, produced, and edited by Steph Sia. Music by Ted D. Graphic design by Maria Bellendorama, and photography by Ian Dabrin.